The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays. The pageant of theater continues. Each week at the same time, the National Broadcasting Company brings you another great play in this pageant of theater from ancient Greece down to modern Broadway. We've come forward many hundreds of years from Athens, where the art of theater was born 2,500 years ago. We've seen samples of the greatest writings of the English language, the three plays from the pen of William Shakespeare, and last week a cavalcade of mystery and horror plays, the revenge tragedies. Today, turning to France, we bring you a modern radio version of one of the greatest love stories in all French literature, Le Cid. Now think for a minute that you're in Paris, in the year 1637. The age of Elizabethan England is passed by a scant quarter of a century, and Shakespeare is dead. In England, the theater is sinking slowly from the glorious heights of Marlowe, Ben Jonson, and those other great contemporaries of Shakespeare. But in France, it's the dawn of a new age. The age of romance, wealth, splendor of Louis XIII. A young writer, Pierre Corneille, has just written a play in the sensuous, rich poetry, becoming popular, a play containing such speeches as this.
On dira seulement, il adorait Chimène. Il n'a pas voulu vivre et mériter sa haine. Il a cédé lui-même à la rigueur du sort, qui forçait sa maîtresse à poursuivre sa mort. Elle voulait sa tête, et son cœur magnanime, s'il en eût refusé, eût pensé faire un crime. Pour venger son honneur, il perdit son amour. Pour venger sa maîtresse, il a quitté le jour. Préférant, quelque espoir qu'eût son âme asservi, son honneur à Chimène, et Chimène à sa vie.
The great love of Rotary Gros, Le Cid, for Chimène, a legendary love, ranking in song and story with Heloise and Abelard, Romeo and Juliet, Tristan and Isolde. And that was the subject of this play by this new young writer, Pierre Corneille. And when the curtain rang down on the first performance of this new play, France had a new classic, a new love story, and a story which has become, to the French, greater than even Romeo and Juliet. The modern radio version of Le Cid has been translated from the French and prepared for broadcast by Albert N. Williams. Special music was composed by Tom Bennett.
Tell me, is this rumor true? You have not disguised my father's words?
Chimène, the memory of your father's words upon the matter are more clear within my mind than his speech to me. Your love for Roderick has a welcome in your father's heart, and unless I have misjudged his meaning, he will command a marriage.
Tell me then again, I pray, some phrase he used that made you think he does approve my love. You did not paint too sharp a picture of my heart to father.
Oh, your heart indifferent was the one I showed him. How it kindles not, nor fades for either man. How neither Roderick nor Sancho came to mind in your communion. But first, your father's wish upon the choice of husband. Ah, this gentle virgin spirit charmed him. And he said, if you would hear his words repeated...
Yes, what did he say?
Let me see,
Quick, I tell thee, beat thy sloven memory to such a pace to overtake his very words.
Oh, yes, I do remember his very words. Wisely she waits upon my choice, he said, and then continued, both are worthy, Sancho, Roderick, both of noble blood and antecedent.
Well, is that all he said? No more? He made no choice?
Oh, his mind was wandering far from your affairs. The king, you know, will appoint a tutor for his son. The choice now wavers close between your father and the egg father to your Roderick. His mind will stay away from you until that choice is made.
I know. Such office is most on his mind, for he does covet it with all his heart. But had he no small hint of how he looked upon this covetousness of mine for Roderick?
Well, he brushed aside some compliments for Roderick.
But still no choice commanded of the two. Did he mention Sancho?
No, he did not mention Sancho. But still extolling Roderick, left and joined the council. I think he muttered as he left, my girl would please me. I think it was Roderick he meant. My girl would please me should she win this fellow's love.
Dolt woman. He made no choice. You think he spoke of Roderick. How am I to know to whom he did refer? Sancho's father was a valorous man. It might have been his deeds the glorious tales did honor.
Oh, the choice is certain, and Roderick never feared a question or dispute. And since he has his father's word to press the marriage at the council's close, the news should rest upon your heart like spreading wings and give your troubled soul content.
Blinded hope has little ease to spare. My troubled heart needs much more certainty than father's hurried, thoughtless words can give.
Chimène.
Quiet, girl. This page has greater ears than years.
Chimène.
Yes, lad?
The Infanta awaits your pleasure.
Tell Her Highness that Chimène attends Her Highness' wish and will present herself at once.
I shall tell Her Highness.
Come, girl, and smile, and make a face that will outface the scandal that a tear-stained eye will start. Come, the Infanta is waiting.
Elvira, dear nurse, come with me, please.
Chimène waits too long before her coming. She neglects the heart that loves her.
Be patient with her, madame. She will be a moment on the way, for she will stop before the many mirrors to set her comb just right for madame's presence.
I dare say.
Tell me, madame, what urge inflames your soul? Each day you summon her to hear the snail's progress of her suit with Roderick.
Should I have no reason? I'll tell you why, Leonora, nurse, since you ask. Her heart is pained by the very hurt that I did send her. Roderick was my lover once.
Madame, I am overbold, but I can see within your heart no echo of the great delight they know. Some brooding sorrow weighs your spirit down. When you, because of the great love you bear them both, should find a joy at their uniting.
This man, this Roderick, whom I gave away, went from my arms, but not my mind. Leonora, I still love him.
You still love him?
Love him. Feel my hands burn at his name. What other sound in all the world could set my blood afire like this? The name, Roderick.
What would the king, your father, say? You are yet his daughter.
I know. It is a secret, Leonora. No hand but dressed with royal signet shall seek mine. When I found my high-born heart defenseless in this love, I gave away that which I could not take and placed Chimène before his sight. Oh, do not wonder why my leaguered heart will haste their wedding day. Deathless love will die like all the rest when hope is done. If these two will soon be joined, the hope that kept my heart upon a spit will shrivel with my anchored passion's heat and free my soul from that diseased longing.
Oh, madame, I have no word for such a fate. I cannot blame your love for him, but only grudge such love's existence.
The greatest hope I have is to lose all hope.
Shh, quiet, madame.
Madame?
Yes?
Chimène awaits your highness' pleasure.
Leonora, go sit with her outside a while and wait my later bidding.
Do not stay too long alone with such a sorrow.
No. No, I wish a moment by myself in which I can compose a joy to wear, to hide my inner feelings from her gaze. And you shall wait with her.
Yes, madame.
Oh, heaven, to whom I must address myself for aid that lies beyond all mortal lending. Quench this flame that hounds me. Give me repose. Let me seek my joy in their delight. This marriage ends the burden of three hearts. Speed its quick consummation, or gird my soul beyond all human suffering.
Gig, yours is the honor. You will be the tutor and companion to the heir of our Castile.
The mark of merit which he gives my name, Gomez, shows that his kingly wisdom can nicely blend justice with gratitude for benefits received.
Kings are merely men, born doubly high, but mortal men the same, and often err in passing judgment.
Come, come, old friend, let us no longer speak of that which irritates your soul. He is the king who made the office, and we must take what we are duly given nor question nor decline the kingly gift.
Which makes my malice toward thee nonetheless.
Come, dear friend, for there is else that we should think on, a smaller thing to us, but dearer.
What?
Simply this. You have a lovely lass, Chimène, and I a son, Roderick. I think, Gomez, the joinder of our names would more befit us both than this single stand of mine could help us either one. I mean, their marriage.
No, old man Dieg, I need no soothing. Make me no advances. Better spend your thought on priming for this vast new dignity of yours. It will come onto your head but slowly.
The mind of envy can find a sneering word to rest itself. The prince, if he would learn by fine example, need only look upon his tutor. The pages of my life are scrawled with vast heroic deeds, too hot upon the minds of men to even make a song.
But the young learn crudely from a dusty book. Brave you were, you say. I am brave today. My honored name supports Castile against the rapes of Aragon, Granada, and the Moors. Each day exalts my growing fame, adds praise to praise, heaps honor onto legendary honor. Riding at my side, the prince would learn by seeing done, should see in conquering how a conquest goes. He should...
I know. You serve him well, the king. And what I once was, you only now begin to imitate.
Thief for stealing what was mine by right.
I won by proof of merit.
By politic wiles that should be buried for their rottenness.
It is a just reward for a man of age and parts who has served his king with glory.
Glory! You thief and swindler of man's honor. The trick you played behind the throne will gain you all the honor you deserve. My hand upon your face!
Oh! Hit me. Such ignobility would be no shame to a man without nobility in his birth.
There! Another honorable scar from war to show the prince, and tell him how you earned it. Go to the prince, read for his instruction the dirty shredded pages of your life, that he will know which tricks his foulest courtiers may use at times to gain the honors that they need to keep esteem of self alight.
Time, thou art my nimblest foe. And age, which locks my arms against such foul dishonor, thou twain shall cloud my ending years with shame. Time shades and darkens all things, taints even gold at last. Gomez, thy youth, unbound of reverence for colleague, has changed the choice of kings. You are chosen by time, if not by King Fernand. Take the honor from me. And, oh, my sword, which many times I owed my living to, thou art only at the last a cold and useless shaft of metal. If the arm that holds thee is the same.
Father!
Yes, Roderick?
Father, I came to ask... Why, Father?
Come. Come to me, son. Take this sword of mine and pledge it to revenge.
Revenge? Revenge for what?
For such deep insult that strikes clear through my blood and makes your heritage a shame. See this face? The hand that laid upon it would have fallen nerveless to the bearer's side had I the strength my years have wasted. This sword that gleamed in Castile's mighty fame is yours and must not touch a halter until the hurt upon our name is balmed with death.
Aye, Father.
The man whom you must kill is swift, and at the precipice of strength. I've seen him hold an army at his point of sword. Go to him cautiously, and with the strength of youth, but not the folly.
I'll hold this sword at length until it rests on his. Who is it, Father?
Count Gomez.
Gomez? Chimène's father?
That is no answer, I know. You two are lovers, but who would live in stigma of disgrace must live in darkened conscience. You know the wrong and where the payment must be made. Remember who I am. Your father, and was an honorable man.
Yes, Father.
I have no more to say. I am distraught. I must be by myself. My heart and soul are with you, son. And with you, my honor.
Aye, Father.
Luck to you, son.
Oh, winds of justice, whither art thou blown that unto me has fallen such a task? To venge my aged father and cut in that so noble blow the bands of love that linked me to Chimène. Honor urges me to action, but affection stays my hand. Oh, to turn between the two and choose not either, but have them both. My passion for Ximen returned, my father's hurt assuaged. But Gomez is the father of Ximen. And should I play heroic son of my deep injured father, her hate will help reward me. And if I admit my fief to him, Gomez, because the love I have for her is all unfolding, then her scorn of me will equal all the world's. But strength. For I could die an honorable death, nor lose the loving faith of her who trusts the tenderness of pledged words, drop my sword before Gomez and bide his blade. But death erases honor and dishonor both, and loses for Diego's son, and for the son a life but new begun. And I shall lay a long time dead. Oh, strong metal in this honored sword. May my blood become a sure. For I have dallied over long with must and dare not on the wheels of moments here before my eyes. Gomez, thou could sire a million beauties as Ximen, but not wipe out the shame you sired in old Diego, save with your own hot blood.
Oh, I must admit my blood took fire, Arius, and urged me to such a length I now regret, but... Well, the blow cannot be undone.
To the mercy of the king, you must address this proud and haughty spirit that you have. This act has greatly angered him, but the king's displeasure...
A single day's displeasure, which I can endure as holiday from continual grace. Punishment to me would hurt the whole of Spain.
Man, have you no fear of the king?
He knows my use to him. Let fall my head, his crown goes with it.
Gomez, I warn that heads do fall with greater ease these days. Fall like leaves in autumn. And the king's displeasure at such courtiers as you is growing like October wind.
Get out of here, Arius, before I lose my patience with you.
I was going.
Oh, fear. Fear lights all these petty lives with such a false half-light that shame would seem more desired than grave punishment a man at least can guard himself against. Let me live long, without my rank, despairing and impoverished. I cannot exist an hour without honor.
Gomez!
Oh, the lad Roderick.
Yes, I've been looking for you.
Yes?
About my father, Diego.
I supposed it.
Diego, now aged and beloved by all, was once the image of all Castilian glory.
Perhaps.
My anger is of that same blood, proud and valiant.
Of what matter, lad?
Let's lock ourselves alone, away from meddlers who would halt a grown man and stripling youth from fighting. You will learn the matter.
Young fool!
My years are young, I grant, but valor is an early trait in Diego's line.
And you would measure swords with me? You scarcely know which end of swords are sharp.
I can learn in one quick bout, and one will be sufficient for the purpose.
Oh, lad, lad, this day has been grotesque. I was at fault and know it. But the deed is done, and time cannot go back before that hour to let us set a different course. But of my daughter, I know your love, and am deeply glad to see that duty has a greater urge in your young heart. And to be honest, lad, I do esteem you greatly. Let not your boldness thus destroy you, for this debut in battle would be your noblest fight and last.
You add pity to your scorn and goad me further in my first resolve.
Leave me, Roderick. This is all nonsense.
We'll do without further words, then.
All right, then. Fight. I see your duty drives you, lad, but I can understand. It were a blackguard son who did outlive his father's mired name. En garde!
Quiet, girl. Still your grief.
I can't.
This is a sudden storm born of nerves drawn taut. It will pass.
The rushing tides of trouble have washed away my sick heart's final hope. I loved him and was loved. Our fathers watched the growing of our love with happiness and commendation. But even as I told my endless tale again for joy of learning it, in that same moment as a story due to happy mood, their proud hearts took fire against each other.
A moment bore the crime, a moment will erase it. Why, the king already has commanded peace between the twain, his noblest courtiers, both of them. And I, to balm your fears, would mend and stitch a broken world, if such would set your heart at rest.
Oh, no peace can ever be between those two. Gomez, my father, is too proud to lay his heart out in his hand.
and old Dieg would only take apology from bended knees in pay for such insult.
But the old man is too wasted to attempt a duel. Fear not your father's safety.
Roderick is not wasted and has his father's safety.
He'd not fight Gomez. He is too young.
For that, I fear the worst. There is no hold of years upon the mad resolve of youth.
Chimène, suppose I, through these days of anger, imprison this hot-headed youth, and thus outwit cruel chance that sired that so thoughtless blow.
Oh, my dear man, Fanta, such a thing would truly set my fears at rest.
Very well. Page.
Yes, madame?
Come here.
Aye, madame.
You see, girl, a woman's wit can sometimes heal a breach when all man's force would fail. Page.
Aye, madame.
Send Don Roderick to me. I would see him.
Madame, he and Count Gomez...
Oh, merciful God.
What, lad?
Well, Don Roderick and the Count in the armor room.
Alone? Madame.
Yes, they were shouting angrily, and Roderick held his sword out ready.
They're fighting now. Words mean nothing to them, but are fuel to the flame that burns inside them. Forgive me, madame, but I can stop their duel. Come, lad, lead me to the room you saw them in.
Leonora.
Aye, Infanta.
Come. Come sit here by me, Leonora.
Madame, ease your fears.
The love I locked deep in forgetfulness has broken loose. So frail a prison is a woman's heart. Courage in woman is the rise of reason over wish. And the sweet poison that is desire has stilled its chill effect. I am dying with that dear, sweet sickness women seek. Surrender.
I cannot believe your words, Arius.
But, sire, they're true. I tell you only as Gomez told me.
I believe you tell me true, Arius, but I cannot think that this proud courtier would imagine I would forswear punition for so base a crime as insult to Dieg.
I gave him your command and engaged the Count in earnest argument and came away with nothing.
Have I in my ranks a man so rash he will respect me not at all and treat my words as gentle winds from nowhere?
Sire, shall we command Brash Gomez come before court and forfeit honor to Dieg?
No, no, enough of that matter for the moment. This court is called for our protection. Let us devise a swift campaign against 10 Moorish ships, which quietly crept up the river's mouth last night.
One might well think, sire, the Moors had learned from many past defeats that you will ever be their conqueror.
They never think without great hatred of my scepter casting Spanish shadows over Andalusia. That was why I placed the throne of Castile, Spain, here in Seville, where now I can put down with most dispatch this threat they make.
They know you well. Your very presence should suffice to turn their boats to sea again.
But neglect no chance, Arius, for caution is the comrade of success. Double all our efforts at quick advice. Warn the river watch to be alert. Send extra men about the wall tonight, but make no noise about your business, lest the sleeping people rise in fear, which would conquer us more surely than the Moors.
Sire! Sire!
Eh?
Sire, Count Gomez is dead.
Gomez dead, you say? Come closer here.
Dieg, through handy office of his son, has venged himself upon Gomez.
Oh, I feared that fatal vengeance when first I learned the insult. Would God I had taken quicker and more certain steps.
Chimène brings her great grief to you, sire, but not so drowned in sorrow that she seeks not justice.
My heart is full of pity for a maiden's grief, but yet I think that Count Gomez, by virtue of his noblest trait, was born to such a death. The hottest blood of Spain ran in his veins.
Justice,
sire, justice! Hear me, sire. It was the fairest justice that man could ever know.
I throw myself at your feet, sire.
And I, a nobleman likewise.
I demand kingly justice. Punish this brash youth who killed my father.
To avenge his own, sire.
Aye.
Silence! Rise, Chimène. And Don Dieg.
Milady.
Child, my heart bleeds at your filial grief. You may address the gathered court. Dieg, you will speak after, nor interrupt her plaint.
I lead.
Speak, child.
Simply, sire, my plaint is that my father is dead. My eyes have seen his noble body spill from his wounded breast. The blood that often guaranteed these leaguered walls. The blood which gave you many happy victories. Castilian blood that never failed in heated battle for yourself.
thighs cooling in this peaceful court, shed by Roderick.
Courage, child. And from this day of anger, your king shall be as father to you.
Sire, I want no kind protection. If this valiant man go and avenge, the trust of those who serve thee will slacken at the thought that they might meet dishonored death themselves. Gomez, my father, has been killed, and I demand his vengeance, more for yourself than me. You lost in him a man whose rank was bettered only by your own. It is a simple task to venge him by a lesser man, for blood is blood. I, not the only victim, but your court. So let the murderer be slain before the king he harmed by his so cruel deed.
No,
silence! Yeg, how rest this death with you?
Glad the man must be who dies when honor does. I was honored by yourself and state alike. But on this day, my grace died at Gomez's hands. Jealousy did make this man, however great in battle, a cruel and base ignoble blackguard. So he struck me down, and I lay in disgrace, my body, long in proud attendance to your noble self, fit meat for an unmarked grave, had I not sired a worthy son who took his father's sword and slew the foul man who took his father's honor, Count Gomez.
Aye, 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 aye.
If justice in this case is death for him who slew Gomez, then let my head, now washed of its black shame, fall honored to the ground that bore me, and to which I must return at last. When the hand of man makes fault, the heart of man must pay. I was the heart, Roderick the hand, which did my bidding blinded. Chimène calls him the murderer. I am to blame. It was my living spirit killed him, and my body would have done the deed if years did not dilute men's strength. Save the youth for service, and kill the man whom age has marked already for an early death. If my old blood will satisfy Chimène, it is her privilege to spill it.
No.
This affair needs all the wisdom, kindness ever taught a man, and all the mercy justice ever offered, and it wants the long deliberation of the court. Sancho.
Aye, liege.
Take Chimène away into her house. Diego.
My liege.
From this day hence, until the court has met, you are a prisoner, by your word and honor kept for justice. And let his son be found to stand before us.
We pause briefly for station identification.
Chimène.
Roderick! Roderick, what are you doing here, miserable boy?
I am only following the sad path of fate. Where is Chimène?
What crude boldness brings you to this place, where your presence does insult the shadow of the Count, not yet resting in his grave? You are his murderer.
Speak not of such, Elvira. That is for men to think, for men know honor and disgrace, and how dishonor calls for death. Where is Chimène?
This is an open place for you to hide. There is no shelter in the dead man's house for you who killed him.
I am not hiding, but have come to give that to Chimène she begged the king to have. My life. Do not look at me so. The only justice is my love.
Oh, she's coming from the palace, wreathed in grief. Accompanied is the king's new ward.
Elvira!
Here she is outside. On, lad, hide. For on me she would fling her wrath as your defender, if you stay near me. She is escorted by the king's command, who would have a sordid tale to tell if you were in her chamber when she came back from the very court where she had pledged her hatred on you. Lad, hide for her sake. Over there.
But I must see her. I must.
Later, lad, later. But for now, be quiet.
Elvira.
Yes, madame, I'm coming to the door. Come in, child.
Oh, I'm miserable.
Come in, Don Sancho.
Thank you.
I'm so unhappy.
Chimène, terrible and sad it is that you must be the victim of such angry blood. Your grief and wrath are righteous, and your tears are just. Such words that I might find are weak and useless to console your deep lament. But if your heart or strength needs aught, then I should be your quick and humble servitor. Use my sword in vengeance. for my heart is at your own command for love.
Oh, I'm wretched.
My poor child.
I beg you, accept my services to avenge your father's death.
Such action on your part would be offense to King Fernand, who promised justice.
Justice walks with such a languid tread that crime outstrips it, and is lost most times in man's memory, before the hasty deed is venged by man's deliberations. Let me be justice for you, which is swift and sure.
Dear Sancho, that will be my remedy if the slower justice fails, and my sorrow still touches on your pity. Good night, Sancho. Thank you, and good night.
Yourself will always bring to memory your sorrow, dear Ximen, which will always move my pity for so gross a deed. Good night.
Elphir, at last we are alone. We two have often wept at Sparrow's Falls. Now let us find some tears for this most awful grief of all. My father's died, Elphir, and Roderick, whom we all loved, has won his earliest spurs for such a death.
Oh, Ximen, lie down and rest.
What farce! You speak of rest in this sad moment when all my being is alive with grief. What respite can I ever hope to have when love and hate war in my angry heart?
You still love him?
That word is weak, Elvia. I do not love, but I adore, yes, cherish him in spite of my great anger.
Think no further on this path of madness, girl. You've seen the king and done as much as you could do, as we have laws to guide us. Put both aside tonight, your love, your father's death, and follow this mad course no longer.
I had a vow to vengeance. It must arrive. Love flatters all our good intents and must be put aside.
But if you truly love him, he is beyond all crime and hurt.
Ximen.
Roderick, in this very room.
Here is the body that you would address to dust. Taste the sweetness of my death and the fine spice of your vengeance wreaked. I lay it in a banquet at your feet.
Roderick, what do you say?
Listen to me.
Go, Roderick, and give me rest that never will awake to let me see you stand before me, daring me to try some murder and laughing at love's delusion of my anger.
Here is my sword, Ximen, and I shall be forever hidden from your injured sight.
Your sword, take that cruel thing out of my sight.
It is away, and yet I wish that you would hide it in my body and end this wretched life of mine. But still no love I hold for you can make me wish away that evil hour I battled with Gomez and struck him down. I was my father's son, and the insult was on my name. I tell it true, love of you fought long within my heart to steal my honor hence. Think on its strength. In such an anguished hour, I paused for love when other men straightway would seek so call a knave and battle him were he the sire of all dear love itself.
Oh, Roderick, dearest enemy. I shame to find I do not blame you for your deed. You have only acted out your teaching, which was noble by our noble standards, and which holds foremost that insult must be wiped from a man's protected name by death. By your knowledge of that teaching you teach me, a father's death calls on his child for recompense. Oh, I shall seek madness as the straightest course between my love for you and duty as you teach it. This quiet death I often calm myself by thinking would be less grievous for thine own dear comfort. But now, the maniacal fortune that does whistle all my days about like autumn leaves will lose you for me by the loss of him. Oh, still the same rude standard rules us both. And life would be a fleeting, fearful mole, seeking only hiding holes. If honor yields to love within my broken heart, honor loves but honor. So to keep thy love, I should avenge my father's death and ask thy life for it. Yet I cannot, while my love of you holds me in bribery.
There will be slander when my crime is known, and yet your love endures.
The only words of censure or of malice will be that I do harbor thee. Go now and shield your passage in the shadows.
What do you plan to do?
My heart demands I have you ever with me, before myself. I wish for nothing.
Goodbye, Ximen.
Goodbye, Roderick. Madame, no matter what great evils heaven sends you...
Leave me to my tears, Elmer. How I long for rest in night's dark quiet where I can weep until my soul is drowned.
Father, it is I, Roderick.
Roderick! Roderick, heaven is merciful to me. You are the image of myself, and our illustrious braveness keeps alive in you the heroes of our noble line.
Oh, I could do no less, spawn of your blood. I am happy that my first attempted duel proves my heritage from you. But enough. I would serve you again, 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 and always, but can you give back the deathly hurt I gave Chimène? I raised my arm for you against my love.
Son, my son.
Tell me nothing. I have lost it all for you. There was a debt. It is well paid.
Son, son, enjoy the fruits of victory. And from your warrior's heart, erase this weak, ignoble strain. Honor is a mistress fair enough for men. Love is but a sometime dalliance and delightful hour.
What are you saying? You dare advise my treason to Chimène? Infamy is equal in the coward breast of faithless heart.
This is no time for flowered words. Stand up. Your king and country need your strength. Lock love away, because a fleet of Moors plans to attack the city and surprise the state.
What's this? They must be fought.
Aye, they are even in the river, and a sudden tide would set them at our walls. The court is wavering, and the people go about like fearful sheep before a slaughter. But some good fortune to my house has placed a regiment beneath your father's flag. Let their nervous swords sink deep in Moorish blood, and you shall lead them.
I command them?
It is your rightful place, for you have proved the rightful heir to me. March at their lead, and give assault to Spain's old enemies. Win pardon from the king and grace from her. And if your passion still commands thee, then 'twill be a certain way of winning her, the conquering hero's way.
I will do it.
But I waste minutes with my words. Come, follow me, and show the king his loss in old Gomez is doubly paid by having thee.
The tale you tell is true, Elvire, and not some rumor sprung a wild hope and wish.
'Tis true, Chimène. Before his swift attack, the Moors were driven down, and in a short campaign, two kings were taken prisoner, and the Moors outwitted once again.
And Roderick led this band?
The town has turned the gates wide open to him, and shouts his name abroad. Liberating angel, protector of Castile, they call him.
Oh, why do I still think of him? What matter if the kings are slain? My father, too, is conquered by this man I would shout noble hero after. Oh, heavy robes of mourning, lie heavier still upon my back. Be like great iron chains and weigh upon my traitorous love until it bows itself to duty.
Quiet. That will be the Infanta who did plan a visit to these rooms for consolation's sake.
Yes, madame, I'm coming. Enter and be welcome, madame. These rooms darkened by our great grief.
Child, this is no common studied visit for condolence, but to blend my grief with yours.
Oh, madame, yours to taste the joy that heaven sent and mingle with communal shouts for victory. The little grief at Gomez's death is for me alone.
Roderick is Castile's hero.
I know. The happy news has reached me.
You still desire that justice reach its end in his imprisonment or death.
Madame, mercy is not mine to give. He is beloved by me more than all the state can love, for such deep passion is the measure of my heart. But yet, for all that love, the cypress boughs of penalty must overgrow his laurels.
Chimène, the king will listen to your charge with only half an ear, the other hearing all the while Castile's clamor for his youth.
He can refuse me if he wish, but still I'll plead.
Think well upon your choice, Chimène. This cause has faces time alone will show. Think well upon them, girl.
My father is dead. He had no choice, nor left no choice for me to make in his behalf.
Chimène,
Roderick, son of Don Diego, seeks audience, Majesty.
Roderick.
Sire, I kneel in service to your crown.
Bold youth, heir to a noble line, always the glory of your state and king. My power is too small to make a payment large enough to fit your noble deeds. Castile delivered from so cruel a foe, the Moors defeated, ere the first alarm had called the people to the city's walls. Of such greatness are those deeds that kings must take them and can never pay their worth. But the two captured kings have recognized your strength and paid you in their kind. Their Cid they name you, which to them does mean a man of highest mortal rank and strength, a leader, nay, a god on earth. I too shall call thee Cid, which name shall mean as much to Spanish as to Moors from this day forth. And to the Cid may every foe bow down, and every Spaniard who shall hear that name shall know you are the savior of Castile. That name upon you is my debt to you, the Cid.
Sire, you're too generous with your praises. The very air I breathe I owe to this great state, and had I wasted life, 'twould be but one poor subject's duty to his birth.
Tell us of last bitter night.
Well, sire, you heard how, in this sudden fear, a band of friends foregathered at my house.
Aye?
They begged my leadership in some projected sortie on the approaching moor. The spirit of the hour did invite me, and the danger to our city dare my courage, so... And pardon, sire, the brashness that did let me start without authority. We ventured forth, outlawed, I know, but daring, young, and eager for the fight. I counseled then that since a price lay on my murderous head, 'twere better that it roll in our defense than surely in a prison cell.
The price is paid, and now I do excuse your sorry vengeance. The people of Castile, with shouts of joy at their deliverance, speak your defense. And to the pleadings of Chimene, I listen only for her comfort.
So we did advance and make a valiant front. Close to the sand we crept, and like a silent snow filtered in the ramparts' crevices, and passed the night. Before the dawn, some 30 Moorish ships swept from the river's mouth into our harbor's teeth. Suspecting naught, they disembarked with such a haughty smugness, were a pity that we had to unlace their crafty smiles. The Moor, betrayed by dawn, cut anchor ropes and let his ships drift out to sea, singing such a song of terror as these ears have never heard, nor did they wait to find their kings or see them safely on the fleeing ships. Then there was no choice except for them to give their swords to me. And so the fight was ended for a lack of fighters. T'was in that fashion, sire.
Sire, this Roderick
is the savior of Castile.
I demand his life, and not his growing fame, no end of which could pay the infamy this youth achieved. Not in a sweep of glory should he die, but on a bitter tree with single arm outstretched, like honor's finger pointing in disgrace. A scaffold with a bier for him, not hero's crypt. I ask his death. I am a woman. Oh, mother of God, but we are weak, we women. Roderick has no fear of me, who never held a sword, and tears are empty scabbards of despair. You will permit him all in this new breathing state of yours, tossing justice to the laughing winds, and I shall be just one more of many conquered, following him on foot at his command.
Child, child, this violence goes beyond the height of human tongue. Justice will not falter in this court. He killed Gomez. Is that not true? But Gomez was the original assailant. So Roderick did defend his father's name, as you do now. If it were just that he pay up his life to you...
That is just...
Then it were likewise just that Gomez gave his life to Roderick.
Strategy of words with traitorous meanings. Sire, since these tears bring forth no verdict fair to me, then I now demand a trial of arms. By weapons, my dear joy was killed. And by the same, my growing grief will find condolence. Sires of the court, I call for Roderick's life. And which of you shall give it me? Here is my hand in wedlock, or your choice. King, I beg you now, proclaim my offering and make it a decree. The man who conquers Roderick conquers me.
That ancient custom I do here outlaw. Roderick is too dear to our Castile to risk his life upon a whim of chance. Whatever crime is hearted urge, the flying Moors have taken from our sight.
You do for him alone upset a law this court has often entertained. Let Roderick, like all full-blooded men, take his place upon the field of honor. He was brave before the boastful count and will maintain his fearlessness.
This is a game now that the girl has kept a prize upon our verdict. So let us play since you demand it, Don Diego. I do admit this Roderick must fight to keep his merit high, but only one shall fight for this most tempting prize. Choose whom you will, Chimène, but choose with caution. And once the match is done, ask no further favor from this court.
I thank you, sire, and I will choose with care.
I want the honor. I know Roderick well and dare confront him, as I often have in sport. Now that Chimène shall be the prize. Madam, I pray you grant me such a gift as your defense will be.
Aye, Sancho. Chimène, do you accept this man?
I do.
Then call the meet today, before the stroke of noon.
Oh, hour of birth that struck when stars decreed the next to live will be upon a throne. Birth sets no crown upon a man that circumstance may not remove. The Cid. The Cid. Roderick. That name might yet be noble, for the conqueror of two kings could win a throne himself. But were he king of all the earth, and I the only noble woman for his hand, his love lies in the keeping of Chimène. I am no more to him than leaves drifting o'er a flower patch, whence all the blooms are picked. Oh, I could die a thousand times each day if death lay such a gentle hand upon my breast and rise again refreshed unto all time. If birth could spring so fine a life inside me as the sound of his dear name. Leonora, why do you come here? This is a woman's time to be alone. Have you never grieved a lover?
You are noble, madame. I see resigned contentment in your eyes.
You read the signs that you would wish to read. But what can never be while there is hope?
But, madame...
I could not even pray to our forgotten gods for mystic powers whereby I could influence the striking of a distant sword and so ensure the death of one. I could not wish Don Sancho dead, for then the marriage will bury the name of Roderick in my heart, where I may never utter it, but feel it cancer all my dreams, until I seek to take my life so I could sleep forever dreamless. And I, for overburdening love, could never wish an insect's blow on Roderick. So I must give him up forever. Leonora... Here is my heart. I'll tear it out and live a life from which all love is wasted.
Madame.
Oh, it was only a deed that's done in feeble words. My heart still beats. But as a messenger that paces me from life to death. It shall be blind to love. For all the love that it could ever know is of a different color. No. No, I am not mad, dear nurse, but only daughter of a king, and shall so remain until I die. Perhaps the heaven we all seek is mixing of our dusts by summer winds when we are dead. And so... You can prepare his body for its dusty grave. You'll see no further grief for Roderick, for he is gone. Until that summer wind will find us. Long life to him who can be happy. I can wait.
Thank you.
are they fighting, and my heart feels all the blows they thrust.
Gently, child, gently.
Within this hour, a man whose hands are red with blood of one I cherished, him will I wed, Roderick or Don Sancho. One killed Gomez, and the other, if fate gives me to his bed, will be known as the killer of the noble Cid.
You would have justice, child. And this is justice as you willed it.
Well, I have more justice yet to spend. Let Roderick win. He wins the hand, but not my whole surrender. Elvira, see who that is. That would be news. Now my fate's decided.
Chimene.
Sancho!
Madam, I lay this sword at your feet.
Sancho, you! Your sword laid at my feet. Fresh from the death of Roderick, traitor to your love for me.
But your men...
I know there is a prize. It shall be paid. Oh, love, forevermore thou shalt be free of such a chain of hunger as held you close beside my father's memory. He is avenged. My love is dead. And I am ever free of this bold net that long had held me captive. Yes, I am free of love. For Roderick, whom I loved, is dead.
Chimene, you do me wrong.
Oh, leave me, sire, king, guardian, listen to me, sire. King, guardian, hear me. I can no longer hide what all my tears will ever show. I loved him and you knew it. Roderick is dead.
Child.
Let me continue. I know there was a debt I have to pay. Don Sancho is the creditor. He took my place and avenged Gomez, and so won the prize to win. I loved Roderick, but now my love is dead. So, sire, if pity moves a king, I beg your lenience. Let my debt to Sancho be erased. To him I will leave all my worldly wealth if he will leave me to my grieving self. I would become a nun and seek a cloister and shut out the world that so bears image of those two I love, Gomez and Roderick.
Chimene, Roderick is not dead. Sancho has been conquered, but he made a false report.
Thank heaven he is yet alive. But Sancho...
Sire, too full our heart in spite of me deceived her. Roderick said when we did fight and he disarmed me, fear not my greedy sword. I would rather have no victory on the field than spill blood, risked in dear Chimene's own name. I came to her to tell her of the way the battle ran. She saw the sword I held and let her vicious dreams betray the truth. In faith, her anger burst upon my words so eagerly, I had no chance to lay the matter fairly before her.
Oh, child, no need to shame for such a love and make no more denials of such joy. Your noble father avenged it. For on the field, his honor was at stake in Roderick's danger. Heaven willed his grace without a further drop of valued blood be spilled. Now, for yourself, be not rebellious to my last command. Here comes the happy youth. Show him thy love.
Here is your final conqueror, Chimene. Allow me hand the bride unto the groom.
Chimene, I'll fight 1,000 champions to prove I mean to wash away my deed at last. I'll die 1,000 deaths if such will satisfy. But this one gift I beg of you. Do not banish me from your remembrance, for I do love thee.
I would love Roderick and obey my king. But if this Cid has become the firm support of all Castile, ought I to be the prize when I am only half a woman, part of me yet mourning on my father's grave?
Time will mend that sorry wound, my child. Roderick has proved his love and should be yours. But I would be the enemy of your father if I gave you to the joys of marriage all so quick upon the heated hour we would all regret. Take a year upon yourself. Think not of death, but life unfolding. The tears you have will dry away as pass the seasons in review. Roderick, to you I do ordain the Spanish armies. Not in quiet time would you forget, but in the heat of fight. Spread the noble name of Cid among our enemies. Keep thy army moving for a year and then return. Be faithful to her love and let thine own burn bright while you are gone. The year will let the anger drift away from your two names, and your return will be a joy to both.
That will I do, And as Castilian Spain grows strong, so will my love for her.
And mine for him. Nurtured like roses growing, will blossom all the sweeter in that year. And grief will die, I vow it.
Your courage and my vows will lend you hope. This day a year from now will always be remembered as the day the Cid found truest joy in marriage to Chimène.
You have just heard Richard Colmar in a modern radio version of Pierre Corneille's great tragic drama, Le Cid, translated from the French and prepared for radio by Albert N. Williams. Special music was composed for this performance by Tom Bennett. Next week at the same time, the Great Plays series will bring you The Imaginary Invalid by Molière. A Great Plays drama guide by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience through the Columbia University Press at the cost of 25 cents. Send coin or money orders to Great Plays, National Broadcasting Company, New York City. The Great Plays drama guide contains a summary of the plot, sketch of the author's life, and pertinent facts about each of the 30 plays in this series. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining great plays of this series. This program has been presented as a public service by the National Broadcasting Company and the independent radio stations associated with the NBC networks, and came to you from the RCA building, Radio City, New York.